Well, good morning, all. I hope everyone's Monday is going well so far. Going to be a hot one today. Well, we are starting a new study, and it's hard to take on the book of Ezekiel. I just like taking on books that have a lot of things to try to figure out. Ezekiel is another book of mysteries, kind of like Revelation. They compare it to Revelation, and that's probably why I picked it. But I felt the Lord telling me to do this one too. And start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Father, we come to you with an exciting new study, looking to the book of Ezekiel and your prophet Ezekiel. Going back, 2,600 years ago, and looking forward to what you got to show us, and you help us through this, and you help me to represent you faithfully, and that I always look to you, and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So Ezekiel. So I thought this first session was going to be kind of a just more of a history lesson a little bit. I'll take on the first three verses. So as we've done in the past, we'll read those three verses first. Am also kind of using my new setup that I hope to use in the church once we get to I get to teaching there also. This is a note, don't know what it's going to be yet, but that we'll start Daniel, which is the companion book kind of to this. Ezekiel and Daniel and Jeremiah were the three prophets. Well, Daniel wasn't really a prophet, but he turned into one. Ezekiel and Jeremiah were prophets of this time frame during the Babylonian captivity. So just checking out these first three verses. Came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives of the by the river of Chebar. And Chebar can be spelled with a K also, you'll see on a map. I'm going to show you here in a bit. But the heavens were open, and I saw a vision of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the words of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. He's kind of writing this too in a little bit in a third person, which is some people find unusual, but I've actually met people like that actually talk about, even when they're talking about themselves, they say they use their name like they're talking in a third person. Just a little hard to get used to. Give you a little background here on Ezekiel. I'll bring the verses over. I'm going to read some verses having to do with it. So starting in verse 1, now it came to pass in the 13th year, 30th year, in the first month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. So let's talk a little bit about the Babylonian captivity. And this happened, well, it happened in three phases. And the first phase was was Daniel. And Daniel was about 608 BC, 607 BC, or thereabouts. Ezekiel was in the second captivity, portion of the captivity, which was about the 598 BC. And the final destruction of Jerusalem happened in like 585 BC. So that kind of shows some references for some of this stuff. Babylonian captivity, we go to Kings, 2 Kings 24. And first I'm going to read 11 through 17. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. I'll explain the besieging a little bit. A besiege is when they would surround the city and cut them off from any. A lot of times it was harder to breach the wall. A lot of these cities had massive walls, and Jerusalem was like that. And so rather than try to fight them on the city streets, they would actually just encompass the entire city. They'd be ready. Some of the Romans said that during some of their sieges, they actually could last. They were ready to stay there for 20 years, or it took that long. So usually people, by the time they were starving to death, and a lot of cannibalism type stuff went on, and it was not pleasant, some of these sieges. So that typically people would give in about the time that they just couldn't, they ran out of food. So that's what they mean by a siege. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judea, went out to the king of Babylon. He and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. So again, this was the second siege. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord. And the Lord had said, and he carried away all of Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers and the money of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all that was strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattiah, his father's brother's king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. So right now they haven't destroyed Jerusalem. Right now Nebuchadnezzar has put in like a puppet king, Zedekiah. This is the second siege. That one we mentioned before because his name is Jehoiakim, he was the king from when D the siege during Daniel's time until now. So, as I mentioned before, that Ezekiel was a contemporary of Daniel and Jeremiah. Now Jeremiah was a bit older, and he began his ministry in 629 BC, so about 20 years before this time frame. And so that and also during this time frame, prior to this time frame, both Ezekiel and Jeremiah were both trying to convince Jerusalem of of the rules they had broken. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But they basically that he was going to put judgment on Jerusalem for not following the commandments that he had set aside. So a little bit about Jeremiah, and when a little bit about him, I just mentioned Jeremiah 1:1-3. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Amachin, king of Judea, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judea, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judea, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So basically, Jeremiah lived from, he lived a little bit after, he lived until after the siege, until after the captivity. And he ended up going to Egypt and spent the rest of his days and ended up dying in Egypt. So Jeremiah was a bit older, about 30 years older than most of than Ezekiel and Daniel. Daniel was the youngest. He was only a teenager when they took him. We'll get more into him as we get into that study. So Daniel was taken in the first siege. Let's see. I'll show you the verses for that in a second. But I wanted to show you that about Jeremiah. Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem, and we see this in Jeremiah 39, 11, and 12. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, saying, "Take him and look well to him and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." Basically, Jeremiah was allowed to stay. He had gained respect with Nebuchadnezzar. And again, this was before, this was about the time of the first siege. So all Nebuchadnezzar really wanted was for the kings of Jerusalem to answer to him and to just live peacefully. But actually, the one really in charge here was God. And God had decided that he was going to punish Israel for not following his commandments. Now Daniel was originally taken with his three friends during the first siege, and that would have been 606 to 604 BC. Don't forget, we're talking BC here, so the bigger the number, the older it is. So now we've moved, because Jeremiah was 629 BC until basically the end of the captivity. Just a little bit past, probably about Cyrus. Cyrus came in, but he was already in Egypt by then. And Ezekiel was there the whole captivity, and so was in Daniel. We see this over in Daniel 1 through 6. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, under Jerusalem and besieged it. So this is the first besieging. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judea into his hand with part of the vessel of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar. Land of Shinar is over there where Babylon is. To the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. That's okay, so Daniel and his three friends, he's going to talk about, were taken to Israel, not really as captives, in so much that they were going to be, otherwise they were intelligent looking, they were good looking, they probably were very attractive young men, and so they was going to train them under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar. So moving to verse 4 here. And children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge. So they had a pretty high IQ, and plus they were nice-looking young men, understanding science, and such as had ability to them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach and learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Michael, and Mishael, and Azariah. And you probably remember the three sons by their given name by Nebuchadnezzar, which was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, and we'll get more into that study once we get into Daniel. It's also talked about over in 2 Kings 24, 1 through 4. In the days Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. Okay, so this is when the second siege happened. And the Lord sent against him the bands of the Chaldeans, and the bands of the Syrians, and the bands of the Moabites, and the bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judea to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Okay, this is Jeremiah and Ezekiel now. This is the prophets talking about here, talking to Israel, trying to warn them. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judea to move them out of his sight, for the sins of Messiah according to all that he did. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Okay. So that was the second siege. But still, the kings appointed by Nebuchadnezzar did not follow the prophets. So in 588 BC, approximately, Jerusalem was destroyed and burned. And then we see this in 2 Kings 25, 1 through 4. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came in, and all his hosts against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. So it's going to be another siege, and this one's going to be the final one. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month of the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. So that is the basic history. And so the main reason that God was against them was because of what they call a sabbatical of the land. It's talked about, this big sabbatical is mentioned in Exodus 23, 10, and 11. And I'll just review this here. That, and 6 years thou shalt sow the land, and shall gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of the people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. So basically, you were not supposed to plant anything. You're supposed to just leave it and let it grow wild. People were allowed to go on to it and pick whatever came up. But it was a rest. It was a rest of land. And basically, for 490 years, Israel had not done this. So God was going to punish them for it. And that basically turned into, he felt Israel owed them 70 years of rest. So basically, the land was going to be rest for the next 70 years while they're in exile over in Babylon. Psalms 137:1 kind of talks about this period of time. By the rivers of Babylon, they were set down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion, and Zion being Israel. So here the captives are realizing that, you know, that. Basically, there was a bunch of false prophets at that time frame telling the people, oh, don't worry about it. God's not going to do anything. He's not going to do anything. You know, not to worry about it. And so they believed the false prophets instead of believing Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And so God finally said, nope, I've had enough. And so he sent, it's an important thing to remember that God sometimes will use our enemies against us. But I love how God was able to actually turn and Nebuchadnezzar around and use him for positive things also. We'll get more into that when we study Daniel. But until then, realize we're going to look at some other visions. And most of Ezekiel's visions have to do with, well, just a bunch of them. We'll just tackle them as we go along. I can't give a brief outline of, except the ending is that, the most fascinating one for me personally, only because it talks about the Millennium Kingdom. And so I'm looking forward to getting to that point. That's way in chapter 40. So we got a long way to go before we get there. Now let's see. So notice that in verse 1 there, it mentions that that he was 30 years old. And that was actually a interesting number. It was a number that when you reach 30 years old, that you could become a priest or have a ministry, in other words. And it's interesting that here Ezekiel was 30 years old when he started his ministry as a captive, not in Babylon itself, but like south of Babylon. So let me bring in some pictures. Kind kind of get an idea where we're at. And this is a few different attacks. If you remember that, well, maybe you don't, but that basically there's two halves of Israel. You had Judea, which we're talking about here, and we had Israel. And Israel was actually, they lasted until they got taken over by the Assyrians somewhere around 700 BC. So it was over 100 years earlier that Israel went into captivity with the Assyrians. So it wasn't just, it was most of Israel was basically between 700 and in this period of time, which is the 300 BC, 600 BC, that Israel was pretty much all put into exile. Now the Assyrians basically took and dispersed all the people of the northern kingdom at that time, Israel, as it was called. And they never really came back. The beauty of the southern, which is the green line there, Judea, which we're talking about here, is that they were mostly taken to Babylon, and they do come back and rebuild Jerusalem. We get that happens in Nehemiah and Ezra. So that the green line here, you can see it left Judea, and this is when Babylon finally. Interesting thing about Israel is that most of the time, that's why a lot of times you'll hear about prophecies about the forces coming from the north, is that the way the mountains are in Israel, it's easier to attack Israel from the north. So you'll notice that even here in Babylonian time frame, that they were taken back north, and then once they got to the Euphrates River, they were brought south down into Babylon. Babylon today is actually in Iraq, and it's pretty much desolate. The prior Iraqi leader, Saddam Hussein, he started to rebuild Babylon. I sometimes wonder if the reason that he was eliminated was because God did not want Babylon rebuilt at this point in time. Now, the two people we're going to talk about mostly having to do with this is Daniel and also Ezekiel. And so Daniel actually went straight to Babylon and was in the in where Nebuchadnezzar's castle was. And Ezekiel went south of there. Here's another map of the area. And if you follow the Euphrates River all the way down, you'll come to Babylon, and that's where the King Nebuchadnezzar's palace was. And you keep coming down, you see that river that runs between like Babylon and down below, down there where it says Erech, you'll see where it says Kabar River. So that river that we're talking about here in Ezekiel 1 is that river right along that, kind of like parallels the Euphrates River. And we don't know exactly where on that river he was at, but he was somewhere along that river. And he was not in the area of Babylon itself. He was actually with the captives, and he ended up staying there through most of his ministry. So it's a little difference between Daniel and Ezekiel, as it does. They never really met each other, from what we can tell. So continuing on, so I want to mention the 30 years old. And so he was 30 years old, and that was actually a requirement. You see that over in Numbers 4:3 and 4:4. From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, that entered into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation, thou shalt be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. So basically, this is saying that you have to be at least 30 years old to be a priest. I find it kind of interesting that that number has been adopted. That's kind of closely when you even talk about our own president of the United States, when it comes to leading a country, it's actually 35. But you go back to the founding fathers, and they were all Bible-believing people. And it, so you wonder if they thought to lead, you needed to at least be 30 years old. And so they used the number 35. But Jesus himself started his ministry. We see this in Luke 3:22 and 23. Started his ministry when he was 30 years old. And the Holy Ghost ascended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be, at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. And it goes on to say his lineage. But this is basically the when his ministry started, when he got baptized in the Jordan River. And he was basically ordained by his father, God, to start his ministry. So, and it indicates that he was about 30 years of age. And also over in Jeremiah 24, it confirms this also. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judea, when I have sent out of this place into the land of Chaldeans for their good. This is confirming that that what God is doing is for their own good. They're not listening to him about following the commandments. So he's going to teach them a lesson. He's not going to kill them, but he's just going to teach them a lesson. And that Jeremiah here is commenting about that. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. So basically, God is telling Jeremiah in a prophecy here that that he's going to punish him, but he plans on bringing them back. And at some place, I didn't get the reference, it talks about 70 years. And I thought I'd mention, too, that this particular vision happens two more times, very similar visions in Ezekiel. And so I thought I'd comment on them. Ezekiel 8:3 mentions it. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my hand. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in the vision of God into Jerusalem, into the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. And also in Ezekiel 11:24, afterwards, the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. So moving on in Ezekiel. Finally in verse 2. Okay, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. So Jehoiakim was already captive since Daniel's time frame. In verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I just thought I'd make a reference of some other visions. Getting visions from God during this time frame was not unusual. It was pretty common, actually. So I thought I'd pick up a few other references of people who had visions, Jeremiah being one, being a prophet. Jeremiah 1:2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judea, in the 13th year of his reign. Also in verse 4, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Hosea, another interesting prophet. He was more to the northern kingdom during the same basic, a little bit earlier time frame, having to do with the northern kingdom. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judea, and the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So this is about 700 BC. So, and then Joel also, another minor prophet, got the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Peuth. So these are all people who got direct revelation from God. And I bring these up because I want to, these days it seems like you see all kinds of people having visions, and they talk about this vision or that vision. I want to make note about visions in general that since these visions of the Old Testament, when God had to speak directly to people, that since Jesus ended the New Testament in Revelation that we just studied, in my opinion, visions are only for the individual. They weren't to be written down and given to the people as some sort of prophecy. And we see this over in 1 Timothy 4:1, to be cautious about visions and about things we see from that we feel the Holy Spirit is telling us. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So to realize that even Satan's worshipers and devils and angels that fell with Satan, they have the ability to speak to us also. So that it's important to realize that, as Paul said over in Acts 17:11, that whatever we're told, to listen to it, but also verify it. And one of my favorite verses, Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So if you can't verify something you're seeing in the Bible somewhere, as the old saying goes, let the Bible explain the Bible. And that's what we're going to do a lot here when it comes to Ezekiel. I'm going to try to compare verses as we see them with other verses in the Bible to try to get an understanding of what they're talking about, especially Ezekiel, because a lot of it sounds very, very way out there when it comes to its vision. But they are visions, and they're visions to try to help us, I think in a way, kind of help us to be investigative reporters and really try to analyze what's being seen and verify it with other parts of the Bible. So I also want to mention the hand of the Lord. Interesting thing, the hand of the Lord came to Ezekiel a total of 7 times. And besides the verse we just read, it's also in Ezekiel 3:14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. I can envision that basically that these times that he said this, that the actual hand of the Lord was on him, touching him, and he could feel it. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, I will there talk with thee. And also Ezekiel 8:1. It came to pass in the 6th year, in the 6th month, and the 5th day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judea sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening aforetime. He that was escaped came and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. And also 37:1. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. That's going to be an interesting chapter when we get to that one. And Ezekiel 41. The hand in the 25th year of our captivity, and so it's in the 25th year, so it's the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th month of the month, in the 14th year after that, the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. So these are different times that Ezekiel felt the hand of the Lord upon him. And so I'm going to end today on that note, and we will dig into this vision starting tomorrow. So I hope that you enjoy this as much as I do, and that we'll have some fun learning this together. So I'll talk to them. Let's end with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for these words and for this, and for the promises of us being able to understand your word. If we diligently seek you, that you'll help us to understand your word, and you allow the Holy Spirit to enrich our lives with your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So we'll take on the next part of chapter 1 tomorrow. It's a vision. It's pretty much the whole chapter of the first vision. And we'll try to see if we can figure out what it's talking about. So if you want to read ahead, go for it. So pretty much I'm going to try to do the whole chapter tomorrow, the rest of it. Talk to you then.